And now, 1160 AM KBDT proudly presents Life Solutions, coaching, counseling, naturopathic medicine, insights for successful living, and getting better with Ann Beal.
Welcome. I'm Ann Beal, your host, and my co-host, Dr. Jim Slaughter.
Hi, guys.
And we are here with Aaron Taylor, and we're discussing his new book, Do You Love Me?
Yes. You know, I've been a pastor for a lot of years and had an interesting life of how it began. I usually share that. But if I was to really say why I wrote the book is I recently was just studying for a message. And as I was studying and preparing, I was reading John 21. And traditionally, we say, oh, well, Peter felt like he really, you know, didn't do the right thing when it came to Jesus. He denied him. He always let him down. I love Peter because he kind of always said the wrong thing, which makes me feel like there's hope for me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he didn't always, but yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Often.
Yeah. So you identify with Peter.
I identify with Peter. But the question comes up and people say, well, you know, Peter had failed Jesus. And so when Jesus looks at Peter and he says, do you love me? Peter responds, you know, I love you. But when we look into the Greek, we see, and you say, well, is that important? Well, it is in this case. Because he says, do you agape me? Peter responds, I phileo you. So the difference is, do you unconditionally love me? And Peter responds, I love you because you love me. I'm good to you because you've been good to me. So often, that's our love. That's our marriages. You're good to me. I'm good to you. We're in a relationship. And even our counseling is always about trying to get equity of, well, you did this so you can do this, and you scratch my back and I can scratch yours. The problem is that was not the supernatural love God was talking about. So I ask people, I say, do you love God? If I asked you, you'd say, well, yeah, I love God. Do you love God unconditionally? I do. But the best definition is simply this. The best definition of love, of agape love, is Jesus. And the best definition is, go love someone first. Did you love Jesus first? No.
No.
Did you love him when, you know, rejected? Did you love him when he had nothing to give you? You have to say no to all those. So how do we agape love him? And that's where this book was birthed from.
Yeah, because it's interesting when you say that, because people like people who like them. If
right.
people like, if somebody likes you, you're probably going to like them.
Right.
Right? If, you
That's
know,
why I like you.
Thank you. But when they don't feel loved by Jesus, when they feel like God has let them down, and they feel like he doesn't love them.
Right. Or he's not done anything for them.
Or he's not done anything for them.
Like, and those are deceptions of the enemy, truthfully. Mm. So what Jesus says to Peter is, Peter's like, I phileo you. I love you because you love me. And Jesus says, go tend my sheep. Go take care of my lambs. Go take care of my little ones. What was he saying? He was really saying, go love somebody first. Don't wait for them to love you. Go love somebody who doesn't deserve love. I'm not talking one time. Begin a journey of that. Go love somebody who can do nothing for you. One of the chapters of the book is how to wreck a good church. Our churches too often are based on, if you're good to me, if you fit in, if it's all a good fit for the church, and hopefully you're going to give money and you're going to give time and we're going to be this family. But that's not how people are needing love. They just need loved. And ultimately, it has to also have to do with forgiveness.
Okay.
And I've always told my wife, you know, in counseling, you know, well, as long as we're faithful to each other, then we'll... You know, we'll be married and be in covenant.
A lot of people say that.
Right, you know. And one day...
That was not till death do us part, though.
Well, we got an out.
Oh.
Because if you're unfaithful, I can be gone.
Yeah, got an out.
So, you know, I'd always say, hey, you know, I love you, but as long as you're faithful to me, I'm faithful to you, we're good.
Right.
And one day God just said, but you've not been faithful to me. And I realized, wait a second, how can I ask my wife to love me and I'm going to love her when I haven't always been faithful to him? And so I realized, I went back to my wife, and it's in the book, I went back to my wife and I said, honey, I want to tell you something. I'm no longer going to tell you I love you. If you're faithful, we'll always be together. I'm just going to tell you I'm going to love you. And if you're not faithful, we'll work it out. And that was birthed out of the aspect of realizing I'm asking God to love me when I've not been faithful to Him. And I can't ask my wife to love me, and I'm going to love her unconditionally. I'm putting conditions on it. And so many people, I do, you know, marriage counseling when they, you know, they're getting together, it's pre-marriage counseling, they're all excited. What would cause you not to be? Oh, nothing. And then I ask a few questions. Doesn't take very many questions in real hard life that we deal with for people to go, oh, well, yeah, I don't know if my marriage could make it through that.
Well, and for better or for worse, right? When you get married, you don't know what worse is. And worse is bad. It's bad. And so people, you know, but I think that you said, if you cheat on me, I'll love you if you don't cheat on me, right?
Right.
But the Lord's Prayer says, right, that
forgive others.
Forgive us our sins or debts as we forgive others.
Right.
And so forgiving others, if we forgive others, He can forgive us. You know, that whole thing.
Yes.
And if we, but often we won't forgive others or say we can't, but we still expect Him to forgive us, right? And so it's interesting because I've been hearing more and more about this with marriage. That the covenant, we had an interview that I got about the marriage covenant, and that it's a covenant same as the covenant with God. And, you know, people, what we find with people who usually end up separated or divorced, they usually are not in church, they're not in community, they've gotten isolated and gotten away from support groups, you know. And I don't really think it's because worse comes, because, you know, if you have a lot of support and you have people around you and you're involved with people, it's when you get isolated in worse that you usually don't forgive.
The covenant we have with God was the covenant given to Abraham, fulfilled in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 by the giving of the Spirit. But that covenant, God walked through it once for Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then He caused a sleep to come on Abraham, and he walked through a second time. Why? Because he kept both sides of the covenant. He kept the covenant if he failed, and he kept the covenant if we fail. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He's the one from whom the breaking of the covenant, the stroke, was due. He paid the price for our breaking the covenant. And so symbolically, Jesus was literally, or God the Father was saying, If I walk through the covenant, if I break it, I'll be cut in two. If you break the covenant, I will be cut in two. What happened when Jesus came and became sin on the cross? And He said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? There was a cutting in two. There was a division that He'd never experienced before. And that was because of our sin. And He did that for me, and He did that for my life, and He did that for my marriage. And once I can begin to receive that unconditional love, I can begin to give that unconditional love.
Right.
And so many people say, well, you'll get burned out. If I love people who don't love me, I'll just get burned out. Hmm. Not if you're receiving from Jesus. When you start to learn how His unconditional flow of the Holy Spirit, if we really break down and go, wait a second, you know how many times I've just been driving, or maybe I've gotten a place that's quiet, and I just said, Lord, are you there? And He's there. And His experience and His love and His care is there. And once I have His love and acceptance, because what I found was I was trying to make my wife be God. I was trying to have that unconditional, no matter what, love from her. Mm-hmm. And my demands on her got greater, and she couldn't meet those. But when I began to find that in Christ, I began to be able to love her like God asked me to.
Wow, that's kind of a revelation, you know, isn't it? So,
that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like what really moved you to get into this and think it through and write the book is that was going on with you and your wife. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, that and others.
Yeah.
You know, our church was a church that was a great church, and yet there was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that too often, and not to be critical of pastors or church, they got enough of that, but too often we're building our churches on good people. instead of building people. Instead of investing in people, we're wanting people to invest in us and in our church. And so I had a number of people that were well off, some millionaires, and we would go way down the street and we would feed the homeless. And we did it. We were kind. We did good acts of mercy and acts of grace. But God really challenged me to begin to value every person. And so we put it up over the doors. I began to speak it, began to put it everywhere. Value every person. Every person God gives you an opportunity, find the value He finds in them. And so we moved our feeding ministry from down under the big bridge where we fed hundreds of people every week, and we brought it home to our church. And we began to feed in the church. And then we said, well, we could do that on like Thursday. And we said, yep, we could do that Sunday morning. What if we brought them in, not like coffee and donuts, and we called the homeless into our church? I wrecked our church. I ruined it.
But
you know what? It looks more like Jesus today and the heart of the people. It wasn't just for the hurting and the broken. It wasn't just about a meal. It was about the change of a heart of a people who love those who are broken, who bind up wounds.
Well, being a pastor of a church, I mean, you get a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of people hurting. And so that's what I was wondering, if that's why you wrote it. You know, what moved you to...
So I met this lady, and her name was Joan. And I met her at a Sherry's restaurant, like a Denny's. And she told me her life story. Life story, in a real quick nutshell, her life story is that she, 15 years old, boy from church, was drunk, showed up at her house, pushed his way in, and raped her. Out of that, a little child was born. She gave the baby up for adoption, tried to get on with her life. Her school, in the process, her church, excuse me, told her, well, we don't want those you kind of people here, you know, and told her to leave. This was years ago. And so she didn't want anything to do with church. They literally kept the boy, but ousted her because she was showing her sin, you know, in their minds. And so in, you know, she gets older. She becomes the first female mayor of one of the oldest cities in Oregon. Great things happen in her life, but she didn't want to go to church. She found herself going back to church and getting involved again, getting involved in the feeding ministry, helping other people. She has two more children. And in the process of that, the pastors took her to pizza. In walks a little 15-year-old girl. And the pastor leans over and goes, that girl used to go to our church till she got herself in trouble. And we told her if that's how she's going to act, she can find somewhere else to go. Joan stands up and says, you don't know that that little girl's me. I want nothing to do with you or your Christianity. And walked out. Well, that story means a lot to me because I believe that's not showing the kind of love Jesus does in our failure, in our hurt. And I know most churches wouldn't do that. We went out and brought them in. We went into the highways and the byways, and we compel the hurting and the worst to come in. Now, I say that to say that story with Joan means a lot because her daughter ends up in a position where she, her daughter ends up in a position where she doesn't serve the Lord. She ends up becoming a lesbian in Seattle, living in a lesbian relationship. Her son, looking for a religion and looking for some kind of a life that has structure, becomes a Mormon. And in the process of all that, this story means a lot because Joan is my mom.
Joan is your mom.
I was the baby she gave
up. No wonder. You know, and that's a wonderful story. You know, the frustrating thing about some churches or some Christians is they pick out certain sins they're uncomfortable with, right? And they make them ugly instead of everyone has sin.
It's all ugly.
It is all ugly.
And God loves us.
And you pick and choose who can come there or whatever. It's so ridiculous, right? And part of loving is loving like Jesus does, which is a challenge to love everyone.
But, and to go out and love them first. Don't wait for them to respond. Go out and love. Go out and intentionally love them first.
Is that what you're wanting to reach people to say? Yeah, that's wonderful.
Sounds like this book would be really good for pastors, lay leaders, and even parishioners, everybody, really. You know, because there's a personal element of it, which means me, you. there's a ministry kind of context as well.
The testimonies that are already coming back have been marriages that were broken, mm-hmm. didn't feel like they could find a place to mm-hmm. love again. Mm-hmm. They didn't find healing, and they've read the book, and God's, like one man just last 2 weeks ago called me from Phoenix and said, I got the courage to go home to my wife who cheated on me.
Wow.
And when I did, I told her I had had a struggle too. Mm-hmm. And he opened his heart up. And he was honest with her for the first time in 20 years of their marriage. And God wow. healed their marriage.
Well, thank you for being here. So, yes.
Do You Love Me? Aaron Taylor.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
It's on Amazon or our website.
All right. Good deal.
All righty.
All right.
What is the name of your website?
MyCrossfire.com.
MyCrossfire.com.
Crossfire.com.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. And remember, keep getting better.